please join me in focusing our collective intention, which appears to be one of the most powerful forces in all the universe. Divine Parents, we are so grateful for all that we find when we gather in this way to seek you, and all that you bring to us for us to find. We are coming to understand slowly but surely the role we play in this design and plan that you have orchestrated for us. It is with the deepest gratitude that we appreciate this opportunity once again to expand ourselves, to open ourselves up, to reach out of our boxes a little more. And to that end, we would petition you to help us expand our capacities, grow our ability to be in awareness as we would put in our efforts to do that as well. Truly, it is thrilling that there is always more. Just around the bend, there is always greater truths and bigger awarenesses. It's a thrilling journey, Divine Parents, for which we are eternally grateful. We invite you to drink this cup with us of appreciation and joy in the process. I would ask whoever just joined late if they might press star 6 and mute their line, please. Greetings. I am here by the invitation of this group once again. I am this one's inner voice. And as I observe this occasion once again, I am pleased to report that more and more there are grand contributions and worthy spiritual offerings by the mortals of the realm. I am in full awareness that you come to meetings like this to receive insights and lessons from a higher source. And this pattern you are comfortable with and familiar with. And so we will utilize it to our best advantage. But as time goes on, I witness that all of you are building an internal reservoir of spiritual truths and greater awareness. And And there will come a time in the not too distant future for all of you when you realize that not only have you done your homework, not only have you gathered to yourselves incrementally the wisdom that you have sought in this process, but as well, you are connected to one who has ultimate authority and wisdom in regards to your spiritual pursuits. There is a great desire and tendency to simply repeat that which you have been told and which you feel to be truth. By way of having received it from one who is in authority, even such as myself in this moment. If I bring you assurance of some particular truth, you are more inclined to accept and believe it because it has come to you from an external source which you have grown to trust. Likewise, there is an internal source you are growing to trust. There is a sense of assurance and conviction you are growing to more and more trust and lean on. When you are exposed to truths from the outside, you now will pass it by your indicator on the inside, and if it rings true and resonates with you, then you may adopt this truth as your own. And having gone through this accepted route, you are gathering these truths together, and they bring you conviction and certainty. And then, when it falls to you at some point, you may repeat that which you have gathered and assembled. And this is the normal learning process of the human being. You have also encountered, having given your trust and faith to a trusted authority figure, and then later been disappointed to find out that some or all of any given truth was in error, or perhaps even deceit. And so it is that you are subject to this relative correctness when you take your truths from outside and bring them in. There is always the chance of misinterpretation, of misunderstanding, of misremembering, and of misuse of relative pertinent truth. Your inner guide, your voice within, does not have this same fault. It is not possible to be misguided, misled, or misinterpreted when your truth arises from this source, from within. And while this common standard pattern of learning by exposure to truth and retention of truth from outside is your current paradigm, as you have been discussing, it is part of this exercise that you attempt to create space for alternate paradigms. That is what we are about in this process of repeatedly venturing outside our framework and exposing ourselves to potentials that are outside of our current box of understanding. As was mentioned in your discussion, this process requires diligent effort. For brief, simple exposure is not enough to rearrange your thought patterns or to cause you to create space for new and expanded awareness and understanding. You must repeatedly expose yourself to new thoughts and expanded ideas in order for them to take root in your being and in order for them to have a place alongside your current existing thought patterns. And so it is that we venture out and experience the concepts around searching for truth from another source, from another angle, from another direction. And to do so, we must loosen our hold on the idea that truth can only be learned in the fashion that you are engaged in this very moment. Because truth can also be embraced through other avenues that are available to you. This direct pipeline that you each have within can provide you with great insights, provide you with profound answers, and great assurances. But it is distinctly different, this internal learning and accepting. It is not in the classroom forum where you are familiar with this technique. It is in the classroom within, in stillness and receptivity, that these truths may be encountered and embraced. And this is a valid and worthy method, albeit distinctly different from the common operating procedure. Our task in these exercises is this repeated exposure to the thought, the idea that this is at first possible, and then expanding beyond this horizon of possibility into our personal experiential realm, and allowing that this possibility may be transformed into reality in our own individual experiences. It is a step-by-step process, and you have been taking these steps. You have brought yourself to this place so that you may be exposed. You have allowed yourselves to consider this possibility, else you would not be here. You are beginning to experiment with such a possibility and bring it in to your own personal experiences. And through repeated episodes of practicing, you will find that the arrangement of neural networks in the brain will grow to accommodate these new thought patterns and permit you greater and greater ease to access these alternate channels of learning. They say practice makes perfect. And in fact, practice and repeated exposure builds the connection between the attempt and the desire and the subsequent manifestation. With enough practice and enough attempts made, it grows easy and certain to accomplish that which you have practiced. And this is because you have grown a network of understanding and assembling the necessary aspects, even in your brain, to get you to your desired result. As a result of your efforts, it gets simpler to do the task in question. And you have all witnessed the effects of repetition and practice on the success and accomplishment of anything. once these neural networks and these patterns have been firmly rooted and established, they may be accessed with great ease. And no longer is it difficult for you to make the moves necessary to affect your desired result. Such is the value of coming repeatedly to an arena such as this, or an arena you create for yourselves of stillness. When you return there frequently, it's easier to return there and reassemble all that you have created that brought you there. Until finally, you are able to be there in an instant. And this space that you have painstakingly created and practiced and maintained and have had repeated exposure to is accessed effortlessly because the network is in place and all the channels are open to allow you easy access. This is why we repeat these exercises over and over again, only slightly varying the content or the intention, because we are establishing these networks. We are developing a groove. And the more we do this, the easier it will be for you to reestablish this connection and repeat this experience. This is the value in returning to spirit. This is why the repeated practice and the repeated attempts are made so that through such practice we may reach for perfection. Just as with any undertaking, it is not possible to attempt from a place of beginning to traverse the distance to where you would desire to be with any ease in the beginning. For the network has to be established. The groove has to be worn. The pattern has to be created. But having spent time undertaking this repetitive action, you can, with ease, gain the benefit of this repetitive action. And with little difficulty, perform your practiced skill with greater perfection. I honor your attempts to keep coming back for more, to keep practicing and trying again. And you will witness the truth of what I have been saying. It has gotten easier for you. You have gotten better at it. You are reaping the rewards for your efforts. It is my honor to come to these practice sessions with you and to join with you in these exercises. Thank you for your devoted attention and for creating the space within your individual boxes to allow for this exchange between us. And even more, for your coming together to create this space collectively. Thank you. Greetings, this is Munjornsen. I too accept your invitation to join in this celebration of your awakening. In your life experience, from your earliest memories, you have been exposed to your external environment, and you consider yourselves in relation to this environment. For you have been told everything out there is real. And you are in relationship to everything that is out there. And as you have gone through this life, you have bumped up against much of what is in your environment. And as such, you have had personal experience with the stone, the tree, the earth, all the things around you which are real, because you have experienced them. And so you have developed this reference base about what is real, because you can touch it, feel it, see it, and in some way personally experience it. You have been told about many things which you have no experience. And if you are trusting in some authority outside of yourself, you may accept what you are told as real, even forsaking your experience of it. You may read something or hear something, and become impressed with the potential reality of it. you open up your minds and say, wow, that is new to me. I am unaware of that. And in that stage, you have prepared yourself for the ultimate acceptance or rejection of that reality based upon what comes next. And what comes next is either confirmation or rejection based upon your own personal experience. Your television has brought to you many things which you never would know about or accept as real or as truth had you not, quote, seen it for yourself. And once you have personally experienced it, it may then be taken in and embraced as a truth, again, because you bumped up against it in life, were exposed to this external truth, and somehow this truth has made its way in to your lives by virtue of having impacted you directly and personally. Other times, people tell you things, and you may or may not believe them or trust in their authority. You may suspend judgment and tell yourself, I am not sure. It could be. It might be, but I don't know. All of these different influences in your lives, you are very well experienced with. The different ways you have come to know what you know. Even to know about things that you don't know yet. I give you the example of space travel. You individually have no personal experience of traveling in space. But you either believe this or don't believe it, based upon your personal reference to it and experience with it. Either you saw with your own eyes this truth being made real to you, or you are in question and doubt as to its true validity because of lack of personal experience. You know about phenomena such as brain surgery, yet you have no personal experience. But you trust the authorities who tell you it exists. It happens. It is real. And because you trust these authority figures, you then embrace this as truth with no personal experience. These examples I have offered are to show you the many ways in which you have assembled your truths. And by whose authority you have embraced the truths that you claim and own. Even now, you listen to me, and you must decide whether you believe what I am presenting, whether you are impacted by this truth personally, as a matter of your own experience, or whether you will take my word for this truth. But I call you to witness that even as I speak to you about such truths, there is one within you who is ready and willing to confirm or not any truth that may be offered to you. There is one within you who will validify for you any experience that you may have. There is one within you who can even bring you directly such truths, unencumbered by an outside authority figure. These truths are deep and profound, are unquestioned, and are certain, because you need not question their source. You need not stretch your trust to accommodate the authority of your teacher. You only need to trust in the Father and relax into his gift to you, and allow that this avenue of truth is, in fact, real. That it can be seen in your mind's eye by you. It can be felt as a matter of personal experience. And after having had such a personal experience, you will know of a certainty of this truth, and it will be unchallengeable. Any truth presented to you from outside is subject to its relevance being determined by your own personal experience of it. And so, it may or may not resonate with you or sink in with you, depending upon your state of awareness and receptivity and willingness to accommodate such truth. In contrast to the truth and certainty you feel when in connection with your inner voice, which is always perfectly aligned with your awareness level, your receptivity, and your willingness. That is why you may repeatedly expose yourself to an information-packed source. And each time, you may come away with some other portion that managed to get through and sink in and become part of your personal experience. And the next time you are subjected to this same book or movie or class, you may take something entirely different away from the same presentation. The presentation did not change. Your awareness changed. Your willingness changed. Your receptivity changed. However, the truth that you received directly from on high through your spiritual channel and guide is always timed perfectly, always appropriate, will always find resonance with you. Because your inner guide knows where you are in your receptivity and willingness. Once again, we attempt to describe these distinctions. Once again, you are presented with another version of some of the same truths. Once again, we will attempt to make this groove, to establish this pattern, so that once again, we may return here with greater ease as a result of our practice and our repeated attempts. Thank you for the opportunity once again to be with you as in this moment you are someone new and someone different than you were in the last moment or the last time we were together. That is why we can never tell exactly what will happen when we get together. Because each time we're together, we have changed, we have grown, we have transformed from the last time or the time previous. But yet, what we come to do is to repeat with regularity the forming of this pattern, which underlies the different expressions of this pattern each time. I appreciate the opportunity you provide to once again join you in this process. And I would now allow this forum for use by others. Thank you. I would greet you again. I am light. I am here perhaps more by personal invitation than group invitation. But nevertheless, I will accept the invitation and join you with a few words about the different qualities of light. You all are aware of the many manifestations in your environment of the same phenomenon of light. That is, light may be the same, but it manifests in different ways and changes into many different forms. And yet, it is still the same light. You are granted a daily illustration of this as you observe your sunrise and at first, these rays are far off on the horizon and must warm your environment, which has become cold as a result of the absence of light. And your morning light feels welcome and weak as it overcomes the darkness and the cold. But soon these first few welcome rays of light become more and more pronounced as the angle changes and this source of light moves until at midday, the same light which appeared early on the horizon in the morning is now bearing down upon you with full force and has overcome the obstacle of cold and now appears to dominate with warmth and pervasive light and illumination until you are in awareness that there are no long shadows and there is warmth even in the air. There is even heat to be felt, perhaps more than desired. And as this source of light moves on through its course of the day, you observe now in the evening the shadows are long and the heat of midday has passed. And once again, you feel cold begin to creep into your environment. And as you watch the sun set for the day, the rays seem so far away. But they have been the same rays the entire time. It is your angle that has changed, and as such has provided you with different conditions. And as twilight overtakes you, you realize that these rays are about to disappear this everyday occurrence and imagery provides you with a contrast in relationship to the light. For in the mornings and in the evenings, you sense that you are as far away as you get. And at midday, you feel the bearing down of this light. Even when this light is on the backside of your earth, it still exists. It is still real, just as it was at midday, but not to you. You do not have this light in your experience, and so it might as well not exist and not be real, for it does not impact you. You register its absence, not its presence. And if you did not know that this was a repetitive cycle and came to this world in the middle of the night and were unaware of this cycle of the sun, it could very well not be real to you, for you have not experienced it. But to those who have had this experience, even this repeated exposure to this pattern, this phenomenon, this truth, even when the light is completely absent, you are in awareness of it. It has impacted your personal experience and environment. And so you await its arrival right on time, right on schedule, because you have complete conviction as a result of your personal experience. So it is with your journey in spirit. You must have personal experience. And then, having had such personal experience with your journey into spirit, you maintain your faith that it exists, even in its apparent absence. You will steadfastly maintain your conviction that it exists. This you do by more than faith. This you do with personal conviction and certainty, because you have made this part of your personal experience. You do not rely on an external source to assure you that it exists. You are not dependent on an outside observation that this is so. You are in complete conviction that it exists because you know in your own life experience that this is true. So just as you are in complete conviction that tomorrow morning there will be rays of light, so may you stand in complete conviction that you are a spiritual being attached to a great spiritual network. And this you know because you have experienced it. It is one of my greatest pleasures to be allowed this opportunity to present to you these thoughts. They come, as was said, in this moment from the outside. They have brushed up against you in your experience in this moment. They have been encountered by you, and so now they may become your reality. They may be made real by your embrace of them. And they may be confirmed within by your greatest teacher. This is a cherished opportunity. I thank you for this chance. I now would withdraw and bid you all good evening. Farewell.